Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Ronnie made a recording with
Red Garland, Paul Chambers, Philly Joe Jones, David Newman, who everyone, except me, of course, calls Fathead.
Nick had a choice to make.
My first loyalty is to my country and my government, but what about my loyalty to Jake?
Rue du Dragon, Paris. May the 4th, 1953. Monsieur Barnes, I received a message from Monsieur Bud Powell and met him as instructed at Le Bar Nègre. He handed me a packet of documents from you, which he had smuggled into Paris, hidden inside his piano. I made the mistake of giving him the payment you had promised while I was still inspecting the contents of the packet. When I looked up, he had disappeared. I found Monsieur Bud in a disreputable boîte which indulges the unfortunate and illegal French passion for absinthe. The green poison had already worked its mischief, and to my mortification, he initially confused me with Monsieur Hugues Panassier, the noted jazz critic and moldy fig, enemy of all that is innovative.
Come on, Pedras, get to the
point. I managed to break through his phantasm, and you can imagine my joy when not only did he recognize me, but he importuned me to stay and listen to a new composition. Of course, I had no choice. Monsieur Barnes, you of all men must understand.
Come on, get to the point.
And you can but imagine what it was like, sitting in a corner of this filthy dive, surrounded by prostitutes, pochards on the verge of delirium tremens, incautious tourist and predator loupards, and three mangy cats, listening to a new work of unparalleled genius. Monsieur Bud began with a simple, haunting melody that resolved itself into a minor seventh chord.
Yeah, what about
at
Nick?
At once jarring and soothing, and move into a string of contrapuntally playful arpeggios, beginning with the blues and extending into the territory of fugue. But I digress.
Yeah. Jesus, don't be so French.
I was able to convince Monsieur Bud to come home with me, where I gave him a cup of hot tea and put him to bed. I left, locking the door behind me to keep him safe. Then I went to find Mr. Carraway. At the Herald Tribune, I was informed that he had already dropped off his cologne. I tried his hotel. The concierge told me that he had returned to the Herald Tribune. I understood that the errand was growing urgent, so I stopped for no more than a moment to look in on Monsieur Bud before making a line of bees for the newspaper office. I found Monsieur Carraway in the composing room, engaged in a heated argument with the compositor.
Impossible! No, on ne peut pas faire ça!
I approached him with the packet you had entrusted to me. Monsieur Carraway, I bring you a packet of information from Monsieur Barnes himself, instructing me to inform you that you should read it before writing your column.
Thank you, but I just completed my column.
Too late! The earlier version you brought in has been set in type.
Monsieur Carraway turned on the man, and there was steel in his voice.
Listen to me. You will tear out this column and replace it with the one I give you now. The earlier version was a mistake, and its publication would dishonor Mr. Barnes. Nothing must go into this newspaper that will do discredit to Jake Barnes. Do you understand me?
Monsieur Barnes, You should have seen him. His resolve was like a furnace, and the poor man melting before him. Then Monsieur Caraway turned to me, and these were his words.
Tell Jake thanks, but I'm not going to look at the documents, whatever they are. I'll do this my way.
Attaboy, Nico.
I picked up the packet and brought it home with me, where it rests on my bedside table, as Monsieur Bud sits at the upright piano in the corner, putting the finishing touches on his new composition, Hallucination. Sincerely, Francis Baudras.
Encrypted and decoded, 5453, from Nicholas Caraway to Alan Dulles. Alan, I couldn't use the column you sent me. I'm sorry, but I just don't believe anymore. I'm through with all that. I'll always consider you a friend, but this is a closed book in my life. This will be my last communication to you through channels. Nick.
Mademoiselle Christine Jorgensen, Atlantic Hotel, Hamburg, Germany, May 4th, 1953. Jake, you dear old bear. You must be proud of your friend this morning, the way he socked it to McCarthy, and the, quote, danger to the American soul if our government continues its present course of sacrificing our humanity and the core of our democracy at the altar of Cold War expediency, unquote. Wow. I was interested to note, though, that he didn't use any of the documents I'd liberated courtesy of Clyde Tolson and delivered to you. Did you decide not to give them to him? For the first time since my operation, I've been experiencing phantom limb syndrome. And I don't mean a pain or an itch, either. Well, I suppose you could call it a sort of an itch. I don't like it much. I wanted to get rid of that thing. I don't want it suddenly getting all hard and throbbing on me, and it's not even there. What makes it bearable is knowing where it is now, and wondering if what I'm feeling at these moments is what you're feeling. Phantom limb syndrome or sympathetic desire? Either way, I want to put it to rest. And something tells me that in order for that to be buried once and for all, it has to be buried inside me. By the pricking of my thumbs, something wicked this way comes. And the sooner the better. Oh, Jake, we're going to have such a damn fine time together. Love, Christine.
From the desk of Alan Dulles, by messenger. 5-5-1953, to George H.W. Bush. I want to know two things. First, this cable from Caraway. What the hell is he talking about? I didn't send him a column. Who did? Second, who have you been conspiring with? You've got a future in this organization, Bush, but you've been playing a dangerous game. I'll tell you something. Your father can't help you. Prescott Bush is never going to be president. But remember this. His son could be, and his son's sons, if you're willing to learn where the true power lies and who to listen to and how to take orders. And remember this, if someone can't help you, it's time to dump him, even if he is your father. Come straight to my office on receipt of this immediately and talk to no one, especially no one named Robert Cohn. Dulles. Thank you.
14½ McDougal Street, New York, May 5th, 1953. My dearest Nick, I sat down to write you a letter in which I was going to tell you that whatever you decided, it would be all right with me. I know that you've devoted so much of your life to an ideal of America. I know because I grew up the same way. I didn't serve in a war, of course, but as a little girl, I felt like I was part of it, saving my little cans of bacon fat and balls of tinfoil and planting my little victory garden. I used to salute every morning when I came out to water my string beans and radishes. But that was Winnetka in what feels like another lifetime. New York can change you. It certainly changed me. But I was writing to tell you that you didn't have to change for me to love you. I know that first and foremost, you're an honorable man, and whatever you decided, it would be honest and principled. First thing this morning, I went out and picked up the Paris Herald Tribune. When I saw the column you'd written, I just melted. I was actually crying into my espresso at the Café Figaro. I go there a lot. It's just down the block from me, and the walls are all covered in French newspapers, so it makes me feel somehow closer to you. But that doesn't explain the way I felt. I was warm and tingly all over. I had to take several deep breaths before I could even go back to focusing my eyes on what you'd written. You are my hero. If it had been you sitting with me at that moment, instead of just your words on a printed page, I would have jumped right over the table and smothered you with kisses. Oh, Nick, I do want to smother you with kisses. I want to hold you in my arms. You must feel it, too. Say you do. But when will we ever see each other? I loved what you said at the end of your column about finding what you had come to think of as a realer America than you'd ever known in the musical voice of Bud Powell and the expatriate American voices of musicians like Sidney Bechet and Blossom Dearie. But does this mean you're never coming home? I miss you so much, my darling. It makes me ache. Love, Ronnie.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Tad Richards and Jonathan Richards, with music by Dave Grusin. Featured in the cast were Tom Conti as Nick Carraway, Ali McGraw as Christine Jorgensen, Natasha Warner as Ronnie Gilchrist, Ambassador Joseph Wilson as Alan Dulles, and Benoit Félix Lombard as Francis Podras. Tune in next time to hear Nick say,
"I'd be lying to myself and you if I didn't admit that there is one issue that scares me more than all the others."